Folks, welcome in to BetUS TV. I'm Kyle Previance. He, of course, is the very buff today base winner in his medium brave shirt there. He's Corby Craig. We are your Major League Baseball team for Tuesday, April 16th. Guys, we're like 10% into the season now. Teams have played 16, 17 games. So I think it's time to start asking the question. And base winner, let's go to you first. What's your biggest surprise so far, you know, 10% into the season? Is there anything that's surprised you so far? Because I know what's surprising me. I'm curious to hear what's surprising you guys.
Well, it surprised me yesterday, and I got to keep an eye on this because it bit me kind of in the ass yesterday on the Tampa Bay play. And you just would think, you know, that Tampa Bay bullpen is, you know, it's always been really good. They can balance it on the back end. And you like that, Kyle, when you can balance it on the back end. Mm-hmm. But you look at their strikeout percentage, and this is their bullpen to date, and it's low. It's 19.1. High walk rate is 14.6. And that's K-minus BB, an important metric. And they're only better than Colorado on that metric. And so I think that it bodes keeping an eye on. I still think that their numbers long term, and you're looking at 150 plate appearances, which I like to look at. I think that's probably the sweet spot. And then 300 bases on balls. And these guys still have pretty good numbers in those departments. So I think that they'll be better. It's just they picked a crappy time to lose last night. But I guess it kept me. I could go to sleep early because I had the Dodgers too, and they lost. So sometimes it's good when you. What on those parlays, if you lose both legs, you get the losing out of the way and on to the next day, Kyle. But that is surprising, that Tampa Bay bullpen to me.
Yeah, and speaking of getting the losing out of the way, Ed Bless says, Kyle, can you keep betting against my Mets? I literally just said before the show, I'm done picking on the Mets. I'm done because I cannot get them right. On occasion, though, Ed, because we love you around here, I'll do it just to get your team a win. But and we remind you guys, hit the like button, the subscribe button, all that good stuff. Hit the bell notification. Tons of content here on BetUS today. Football, basketball, baseball, two soccer shows. Of course, two soccer shows. My guy Flash is out there putting the hard work. So check all of that out. And Corby, your sweater's getting some love here with the background. It does look sharp. I would say, you know, if we went in order of hotness today, like you guys are 1A, 1B, and I'm a distant third back here. But Corby, I mean, it's just, you know, full disclosure here, if I'm not being biased, I got to be honest here. But Corby, what surprised you so far, you know, 10% in the season, 16 games in?
Yeah, just the amount of injuries. Like, it was kind of assumed it would happen. It just kind of has been the progressive stance in baseball. But injuries obviously have taken over this season. Other than that, I would say the amount of pitchers who have sped up their velo. Like, you see a lot of pitchers, like even Jared Jones. I tweeted about this yesterday, but a lot of guys are finding the 97 to 100 range, which just haven't in years past, and they don't have anything else. So you see like double-digit strikeout rates, K per nine. It's not very common to see as many as we see right now. Like, we see Crochet, Jared Jones, off the top of my head, those were two of the top five strikeout guys. And though their stuff is great, I think over the course of the season, batters are going to catch up. So I would say pitching dominance just due to speed and injuries because of it.
Yeah, and for me, it's pitching, but it's pitching by the Kansas City Royals. That entire staff has been really, really good to start the year. They've only given up 48 total runs in 17 games. So I thought the Royals would be a fun team and maybe one of these like new Orioles teams with the young talent coming up. But the pitching for the Royals has been out of this world. And that was sort of the concern, right? Like, is this rotation going to be able to keep up with this lineup that they're starting to build here? And so far they have. I mean, they've allowed the fewest runs in all of baseball. Their run differential is at plus 39, which is the best in baseball. So even though I thought the Royals would be good, they've exceeded my expectations. And I think it's pretty surprising. Unfortunately for them, the Guardians are like the second best team in baseball with a plus 35 run differential right now. So the AL Central, to me, what a surprise. That's not a division we typically think of as dominant. We kind of thought it would be one of the worst divisions, but so far those two teams at the top are carrying the torch, and I think that's pretty surprising to me. I'm very excited to get into the games today because I've been working hard to get my data with another partner. And I finally got some things here. Base winner-esque. Never will it be the base, like with all these unbelievable numbers that he has. But I got some base winner-esque stuff to add today. I'm pretty excited to compare it and see how it goes. So let's go. Oh, you got something to add on that, base winner?
I think it's exciting. It's good. I, you know, people, first of all, Kyle is a wonderful host. I love working with Kyle. And he tells great jokes and he keeps the show going. And my wife likes him too. So he's a good host in that department. But I think his handicapping is underrated. You know, he gave me a run for my money last year and we both ended up, I think, around 10 units ahead, which is tough to do on a full season. And so far you're still ahead. We'll get to the record, I guess, eventually. Yeah. You're ahead now. But his handicapping ability is undervalued here on the show. He's a great handicapper, guys.
Well, I appreciate you, brother. And I put in the work. We want to make it. We want to get better and better and better. There's the record. We're still sitting in the positive as a show. We love to see that. And let's keep that rolling. Trevor Vandenbosch Jones says, I indulged in some goodies a week ago and got Royals 80-1 World Series. Wow, 80-1. Could do a whole lot worse than that. Let's get to our first game on the docket, 965-966. Chris Paddock and the Twins at +150. We have Grayson Rodriguez and the Orioles at -170. Total of 8.5 with a slight bit of juice to the under at -115. Base one, let's start with you here. Look, Grayson Rodriguez, we sort of talked about it when the season started. What version are we going to get this year? Is he going to improve? You know, last year, wide range of outcomes. He could be exceptional one night and terrible the next night. But I like the Orioles here, double result. When I look at this game, it's -180 in the market. I have it priced at -214. I have a 68.15% chance of winning this game. Just over 4.5 runs projected for them as well. So I like the number here. I'm getting plus money when I have it priced at -214. I'm pretty excited for this one. I like the Orioles in this spot. What does the base winner model say?
I'm showing -131. So big disparity in the model. So I think that's interesting, and it brings up a good that you can model things differently. And there's no such thing as a perfect model, guys. There's no such thing as a perfect stat. There's no such thing as a perfect bet. As far as this game goes, I like the Twins. I didn't put it out as a play. I think Paddock's rating is low, but I think that that's basically because of his command rather than a strikeout percentage. And if you take a look at Rodriguez, he's up in the he's 87th percentile strikeout percentage, 28.6. Stuff plus 97th percentile. Hard hit per nine, 75th percentile. So good numbers on him. And I just can't get a read on this Twins team. I really like this team. I think that they're going to eventually take over that AL Central. But it's really hard for me to get a read on them early on and kind of what's going on. The pen's been really good. That K minus BB number's good, and they're missing their best guy. So I think that's kind of the scary part. Conversely, from a hitting standpoint, I don't think this team is as bad as their weighted runs created has been so far. I mean, they're at 82 right now. They're ahead of the Phillies, surprisingly, but the team down there with them, Athletics, White Sox, and Marlins. So bad company to keep. I think they're better than that, though. So for me, I'm going to stay away from it. I mean, I didn't play it for a reason. I think Rodriguez is solid. All numbers are good for him, Kyle.
Yeah, and Corby, by my numbers, Chris Paddock's the second worst profile at 922 weighted OPS. Only Ryan Weathers' profile's worse for me, according to the weighted OPS numbers, if you take a two-year sample size. I think the Orioles get it done here against Pat. The right, all those lefties in the Orioles lineup that can give a bad righty troubles. So I'm taking the Orioles double result at +110. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's not a bad price. I make this number 170, so it's an interesting in between.
Yes,
we basically split the difference between all three of us. So if you take our average, we're basically what, 175 here, 170. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty good number. I will say this is, first off, Paddock's bad. I bet his strikeout under prop last night, kind of agree there, haven't been impressed with what he has. More important is, like, this Orioles line this morning was so messed up, just in like a player prop derivatives, like they opened up every single Orioles player in plus money. Does that affect the major market, like the side and total? Probably not, but you're playing a derivative as well, so it wouldn't surprise me if this double result number is off a little bit. Like, I woke up this morning with Santander +180 to record a hit, which just obviously isn't correct. So would not surprise me if this number's off a little bit. I haven't dove too much into the double result. Do agree, Orioles. I'm curious, Grayson Rodriguez, strikeout props. We've seen this Twins team. Grayson Rodriguez, 6.5. That's juiced over. It's probably about right. We've seen this Twins team struggle with swing and miss. And Grayson Rodriguez, I've talked about a few times, I think has really good stuff when the location's fine. So would lean towards a Grayson Rodriguez strikeout prop over.
Yeah, the Twins have been striking out a ton. And I just was looking at the weather because I'm still trying to figure out how to use my little new toy. There you go, title of my sex tape. I set myself.
How you know what, Kyle? I'm glad you're doing this because it's really tough to present when you have all these numbers going around. You got to know which one to go to, and so. But you're doing a good job with it. I was gonna like hammer you a little bit more. How are you deriving this model? But I thought I'd ease up on you at least. You know, maybe talk to you about it off air.
I literally had 25 minutes to look to like sort of start seeing how it was going to be before the show started. It's literally that close to it. So I'm just kind of seeing some things that I think are cool and trying to sound a little bit like Bass Winner because he's the smartest guy I know and he's got the best model I know. So I'm just doing my best there. But for purposes of the show, I'm taking the Orioles double result. For those wondering, it's minus 115 on the run line in the first five. So I am getting the 25 cents that I'm looking for there. That's why I like the plus 110. So I'm going to lock in that Orioles double result. Ed Bless says Kyle always has the best models. Well, certainly not the best behaved models, but yes, they're usually very, very pretty in
What you had on
fairness.
the show last year was well behaved. She wouldn't even go
Well,
because I was trying to get her to go on the screen and then she wouldn't even do it.
that's because she had made already so many on-camera mistakes on some of the other shows I do, like full flashing, just some. Anyways, I digress. Let's head over to our next game, 967, 968. Jose Soriano and the Angels sitting at plus 135. Aaron Civale and the Rays at minus 150. Total of eight with a tiny bit of juice to the over sitting at minus 112. All right, Corby, let's start with you here. So for those wondering, my model has this one priced right at 150 for Tampa Bay to win. That's right where I have it. So it's interesting. Now I'm curious to see the differences here. And I feel so included. I feel so happy here. For me, pitching advantage certainly for Savali and the Rays. I do like the Rays here. So I was kind of surprised that it was priced at market. What are your thoughts here, Rays Angels?
Yes, it's going to be tough for a model to catch up to Savali pitching good to start the season. 17 innings pitched, 18 strikeouts for a guy who really hasn't been a strikeout pitcher ever. I think his stuff has actually looked pretty decent. To be a guy who would fit my profile as someone I don't really love to back, he's not that tall. His extension is in the second percentile. He doesn't throw very hard, his primary pitch being 88 miles an hour. It's a guy that in most cases I wouldn't like, but we see him doing pretty well. So it's going to be hard for a model to catch up to that. That said, the Rays basement I kind of talked about, the Rays pen has been a little strange. Like we see the Rays year after year make the right decisions with their just pitch schemes. Like they were the first one to start doing openers. And it seems like they've always done right. So I'm not afraid that they're going to bounce back plenty fine. This Angels lineup, I just don't think is good, though their best player being one of their best players being Ohapi, I think that's how you say his name, in the eight spot, which has been really weird to see basically one of their most productive batters being their least productive position. I'm curious if they ever make a decision to change that, but as of now, they haven't. And so my run production number for them is pretty low. So don't like the Angels, but lean towards the Rays. I made this 155, so laid off just because I don't like that style or brand of pitcher, but I do think the Rays is a good bet here.
So I got it at 155, at 150, Corby at 155. B-Dub, shout out to Kenny, by the way. He talked about the hot bat of Anthony Rendon, and he sure showed that yesterday with the three hits. And who doesn't like a good hot swinging hot bat, right, without taking antibiotics? But what does the Base Winner model say? Angels, Rays.
Yeah, no, that was a timely hit, untimely for me personally, but it was a good at bat too. The second hit, top of the eighth inning, he, you know, hey, guys, sometimes you got to tip the hat to the other guy, but that was a good call by Kenny. One of many that he's made so far early on into the season. Looking at this game, and I think Corby made a good point. Like, you don't consider Savali a strikeout pitcher. And like I was just floored when I did the preseason show. I'm looking at this guy. He was up in the 30. I think he might have been 32 percentile. I'm like, wait a second. Something's talk about broken. Something's broken in the way I'm doing things. But I audited. I specifically audited him personally because I couldn't believe it. And so that's where he sat. And that's where he sits right now, right about there, 30.7 strikeout percentage. And every time I see a guy with a 30% strikeout rate, it's elite. And I look to make that play. I'm gonna make Tampa Bay the first leg of the Base Winner parlay today. I'm going to play him with San Diego. It pays pretty good, like plus 206. I think it's a good opportunity. And then if you look at Savali's stuff, plus 74th percentile, good command, 0.20 BBK. And then, you know, talking about this Tampa Bay, you know, and I think one of the things that I thought about when Corby mentioned that Savale's extension, number two in baseball, right?
Good for him.
Wait. Is that what you said?
No. Second percentile. One of the worst extensions of baseball.
So he has, he doesn't have good extension. Hey. Well, that's not a good thing. but I think what's good is I think we're going to get a lot of length from him today. And I've got him 5.7 innings pitched. I think it's going to be really important to get that length from him today because I want to get to Poche, Adam, and Fairbanks. Both of those guys, if you look respectively, Poche 28.7, Adam 28.6, Fairbanks 39.8 strikeout percentage. Their control is less than elite, but it's still, if you average it, it's pretty close to league average. And with those kind of strikeout numbers, I want to get to those guys in the back end of the bullpen. So hopefully we'll get some length from Savale, and that's going to be the first play of the basement winner parlay, Tampa Bay guys.
So you think Savale's hearing his significant other say, it doesn't happen to everyone. It is a big deal. No, or what's the move? You know what I'm talking about. No, it's not normal. It doesn't happen to everyone. And yes, it's a big deal. But nonetheless, I digress. Kenny came in here mid-compliment after I had already complimented him, of course. But he came in with the Val Venus, hello, ladies. And someone did ask if I had watched Russ. I literally did cry when Cody Rhodes got the title. I haven't watched current wrestling in years. But, of course, love the Rhodes family, and they were mistreated horribly by the McMahons for years and years and years. So I thought it was really awesome, the main event at WrestleMania, and Kenny's making me think about wrestling with the Val Venus reference. But for purposes of the show, the first leg of the Base Winner Parlay, Base Winner's locking in Aaron Savale, his bad extension, and these Rays. That's the first leg of the Base Winner Parlay.
I'm glad when Corby's on the show, he really knows the Major League Baseball pitchers' extension numbers, and it's one that I'm kind of – I really don't follow the extension numbers of the pitchers as closely as Corby does.
Yeah, well, let's just hope he's more dense, you know. Hopefully he's got some density to him, and that's what you're looking for in there. Let's head to the next game on the docket, 9:55, 9:56. We've got Jared Jones and the Pirates, as I'll slow myself down here and wait for the graphic for you guys, sitting at plus 106. Jose Quintana and the Mets here at minus 116. Total of 8 flat across the board at minus 110. B-Dub, I don't know what your model shows, but I actually show a little bit of value, and I'm sorry to say this, Ed, for the Mets. I have it priced at minus 144 for the Mets. But Jared Jones, and again, that could be some early bugs here because Jared Jones has been sensational, right, for the Pirates. They're certainly live dogs in this one, I would say. What does the model say on this one?
Well, I got it at minus 118. That's where the market is. But my number for Jones, I don't think I'm giving him enough credit, but like, where do you start though? Like, exactly. Like, right. Like, okay, so he's got 3 starts, steamer projections about league average. I'd like to see at least 150 plate appearances, and he's not there yet. So for me, it's kind of a no play, and I'm almost glad that the model's saying there's no value there, because you know, that's a big card today, and there's some other good plays on the board. I'm gonna sit this one out. One thing I can say about Jones is you say, well, he doesn't have a sample, but one of the things you could look at is his stuff. His stuff's elite, 100 percentile stuff. So I wouldn't, like, I guess if you wanted to bet that game, for me, I'd bet the Pirates. But, you know, I mean, season's still young. We don't have to bet every game, Kyle.
Yeah, it's real close for me. I do show a little bit of value to the Mets, and Quintana, Corby, does profile well. His weighted OPS does anyway at a 685 over the last couple of seasons. I think he's a nice play in DFS too, but you've got a different look on this one, which I like. And again, it's hard to – is Jared Jones going to continue to be, you know, semi-elite like he's been early on, or do hitters start to catch up? Now there's more tape on him. Team hitting coaches are able to scout him. Players are able to scout him. So it's certainly something interesting with these young pitchers. But what do you think here, Mets Pirates?
Yeah, I think Jared Jones is fun. This is what the tweet I was talking about and I discussed in the pre-show. But he throws hard and he can bring it back with a slider. The issue is that's basically his only 2 pitches. It's like in basketball how Alabama is playing the analytics game. So if you look at Jared Jones, he fits every metric that you want. And his stuff is going to show 100th percentile because he throws really hard and he can drop the ball really slow. He tunnels well. He has good extension. Like, he does all the things that you ask for a pitcher. The issue is, like, I think at some point you're just playing an analytics game to get a good analytic grade, and you're not actually that great of a pitcher. Though Jared Jones, I do think is better than average. I do think he's going to see some regression. We saw 22 swing and miss first game, 21 the second game, 15 in his third outing. Like, this is something that's going to regress. I don't think that the market's bought too high on him yet. I was really hoping it would, but seeing 5.5 strikeouts seems like a normal number here. The Mets are pretty good at not striking out, but I went away from Jared Jones, kind of like base winner. I want him to get a little bit more sample size. I went to the other side. Jose Quintana, I bet the under 5.5 strikeouts. He has 4 strikeouts in each of the games this year. That's cool. But more importantly, he threw 102 pitches and 100 pitches in the last two games. He hasn't went back-to-back games of triple-digit pitches since 2022. I think it was September of 2022. This isn't a good spot for him to be able to go any kind of longevity. And I just don't think he has swing and miss stuff. 18% swinging strike or strikeout rate versus a Pirates team that, yes, probably strikes out more than they should, but they do have some power. So I think Quintana doesn't really care to get 6 strikeouts. Also, they're playing in a field that is prevalent to getting just pop out outs. Like, this is a total that's 7.5 because you don't have to have swing and miss stuff here. So Quintana can get out easy. Just get some soft contact, and I think he's good at that. So under 5.5 strikeouts, -127, I think, is what we got for the show.
Yep.
And I will gladly take that.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. What do we got, base winner? I can see the look on your face.
Soft contacting reminds me of the joke, you know, it's like just like trying to play pool with a rope. You know, I mean, I think that's a funny joke.
You know, sometimes there's stress. Sometimes you're nervous. Sometimes you drink too much whiskey. Or, you know, you hit the slopes or, you know, you did something and you got a pain in your toe. You flexed your calves. There's lots of things that can happen for a floppy rope. I'm just saying. But for purposes of the show here, and I like to play, and I'm going to do this for Ed. Like, if I had the proverbial gun to my head, I have it priced at 144 for the Mets. But I do think Jared Jones, the book is still open on Jared Jones early in the season, and the Pirates are certainly live dogs here. So I'm not making it official, Ed, but I will say if I had the proverbial gun to my head, I would be probably backing the dog here in the Pirates, but for purposes of the show, we're going to lock in Jose Quintana under 5.5 Ks at -127 for the leader in the clubhouse right now, Mr. Corby Craig. Let's head to the next game on our docket, 973-974. We've got Brady Singer and the Royals at -180. Young man Jonathan Cannon, 6'6", a Corby Craig special, making his major league debut, and the White Sox at +160, total of 8. With some juice to the under at -115. I'm trying to remember who I went first with last game. Let's start with Corby here. I think that's right. I took the Royals double result here at -105. I have the game priced at -214 to the Royals. And the other thing is, first of all, Brady Singer has been absolutely sensational in his first 3 starts this year. And that's, you know, he's already shut out this White Sox team, striking out 10 over 7 strong innings in his debut. Or in his season debut, pitched really well against the Astros, who we know get off to slow starts, but that's still a formidable lineup. And then pitched really well again in his last game. I'm blanking now on the last, but Brady Singer has not given up more than 1 earned run in any start this year. You got a kid, and we sort of talked about it before the show. He's got good stuff, Corby. It looks like he's, you know, got a lot of potential, but how many times have we seen it time and time again, these pitchers making their first debut sort of into the season after being in AAA, AA? You're making your first major league start is something different here. I like the Royals. I think they're the better team. I took the double result at -105. The one concern here, the weather. Which is, are they ever going to have good weather in Chicago? Why is every damn game in Chicago a weather issue? But what are your thoughts here, Royals, White Sox, Corby?
Yeah, I'm actually going to have a live button on this. Yeah, I like this. All right, so we're going to take a live button here. Kind of agree with you. Not as much on the pitcher standpoint, more of, I think, Chicago can't score. So give me live button, Kevin. The White Sox, first 5 team total, under 1.5 runs, -120. They're projected 3 runs for the whole game, basically. So do I think they're going to get 2 through 5? Not in most cases. I do think this Jonathan Cannon kid has the potential to be good. We talked about this pre-show. But the White Sox, a few things. First off, the White Sox analytic department in pitching has never blown me away. Like, this isn't a team that's just crazy. But I will say Crochet and Cannon kind of fit the exact same profile, and we've seen that Crochet has pitched great. So if they could have done something with the two of them, it wouldn't surprise me if Cannon's good. 6'6", 97 mile per hour fastball, 78 mile per hour curveball, plenty of drop off. And I'm really excited to watch. The issue is I don't think the White Sox can score a run, especially versus Brady Singer, who we've talked about for a year now. Market kind of loves. So not confident they can score. I'll take the first five team total under 1.5 minus 120 for the White Sox.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit, especially weather concerns out there as well. B-Dub, I have Kansas City priced at minus 242. They have the second highest win probability on my board today outside of the Phillies at just under 71%. So I'm taking the double result there. What does the base winner model say? How far off am I? I can't wait to hear it.
What did you say? Minus 182? Is that what you said?
Minus 242.
Minus 240. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I have it at minus 168. So we're definitely using some different inputs. That's for sure. You know, for me, it's a no play. You said when you were talking about this game, that the weather there is just every time you watch a game, you're getting quiet. Oh, God, I feel sorry for the people that are. I actually got to give credit to go out there, watch this crappy team. And they might be the best fans of all time. Going out, watching this crappy team in this crappy weather. So pat on the back to the, I guess they probably only had 500 fans out there, but good for those 500 people. As far as Brady Singer, he's an interesting guy from a number standpoint. I don't know what he is like off the field, so I don't know if he really is an interesting guy, but his numbers are certainly interesting. And if you look at his numbers, he's gotten an 85, base winner ERA 3.66, which is an 85, 15%. Better than average. And so strikeout percentage isn't that great. 21.3 below league average. Walk percentage is pretty good. 5.3. League average is around 8.8. But the ground ball percentage, 54.6%. And that's an elite ground ball percentage. And you know, Sandoval was pitching for the Angels yesterday and was watching that game. And he doesn't have much, but he does have a good ground ball percentage. He was getting a lot of ground ball. And so it gave me an idea for a model, which I'll share. Not today, because the show's going a little bit long. But for me, no play on it. There's better games on the card, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and lock in that Royals double result. I probably put a little more weight into the debutante, if you will. I do not like pitchers making their first start anywhere. If it's opening day and they've sort of been with the major league team and sort of doing that in spring training, getting a feel for it, it's different for me. But when you come up, you know, a few weeks or a few months into the season and you're starting against one of the hot, if not the hottest team in baseball, I think that's a tough spot. I'll take the Royals double result here and lock it in. What happened?
The only thing I can caution you is like with a name like that, Jonathan Cannon, that's like as good as it could get. I guess he could be like Gunnar Henderson he could be Gunnar Cannon. That would even be more impressive. But like I would exercise caution betting against a guy with that name, Kyle.
I think that's a great point that I did not think of. Like, that's like Michael Missile or something, right? I get it. It does make Larry Launcher or something like that.
I want to see the guy have a kid and name the kid Gunnar Cannon. And so, like, ooh, you know, when I'm close to 120 years from breaking it down, we can have Gunnar Cannon on the show.
Very interesting. I don't mind. Are we saying Cannon's a first name? So he's another two first namer, or I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, it's Jonathan Cannon. Like, I've got a cannon for an arm. But, like, you know, I mean, there's Gunnar Henderson, so it's not far-fetched, I don't think.
Not at all. I think it's great. Let's head to the next game. On the docket, 957, 958. We've got Dylan Cease in the Padres sitting at minus 120. Wade Miley and the Brewers at plus 110. Total of 8.5 flat across the board at minus 110. All right, base winner, tell us what the model says here. I feel a base winner parlay coming on, and you got a good price today. Look, I think Wade Miley's serviceable, but Dylan Cease finally is looking like he's coming into his own a little bit with the Padres here. I do have it as a pitching advantage for the Padres. What does the model say here? I have it priced at minus 172 to the Padres, winning 63% of the time, so I wonder how far off I am on this one.
You know what? That one's really close. I got it at minus 171, so we'll have to. We'll have to share notes after the show. But this is an interesting situation. Base winner model, minus 171. But Cease is the highest strikeout percentage on the card versus Miley, the lowest strikeout percentage on the card. And I just thought this is an opportunity to make a play with a better pitcher. Stuff Plus, you got 91 percentile Dylan Cease. You've got 37 percentile Wade Miley. BBK, You've got Dylan Cease, 0.27. You've got Wade Miley, 0.69, a good number in some circumstances, but not when it comes to BBK. 0.69 is high, and that's not what you need there. The one thing that I think might be a better play, and now that I'm looking at these bullpens, is maybe play San Diego in the first five. I honestly missed that, but I'll keep it full game for the show just so we don't have to have all these ridiculous graphic changes and stuff mid-show. But I think it might be a better idea to go first five if you haven't made the bet yet. Or what you could do is when the Padres are ahead, you could bet in game and maybe even try to get a middle in that department. One of the things for the Brewers I wanted to point out is Yelich, and he kind of drives that offense. He's struggling with back issues. He was not in the lineup yesterday. That's not even priced into my model. So that's just kind of a bonus for this game. But put them together, put the Rays and the Padres together, and you get plus 206. I think it's very attractive, and that's what I'm going to do today, guys.
Yeah, Corby, by my numbers, it's advantage Cease all the way here. The Padres have hit the projected lineup. It's smaller sample size, but they've hit him really well. 20 of 64, 313 average. The projected lineup for the Brewers and only 23 plate appearances against Dylan Cease only have two hits. So, again, smaller sample sizes, but everything I look at, no matter what I look at, whether it be strikeout percentage, everything else, it favors Cease and the Padres here. What do you got on this one, Padres Brewers?
Yeah, I'm not much of a Wade Miley fan. The only thing I will say is he's pretty good at creating either ground balls or soft contact, which in Milwaukee is a good thing. It's a stadium that just feels like it. I don't even have the number in front of me, but it feels like it has to be one of the higher home run parks in baseball. Dylan Cease, huge breaking stuff in 28 appearances versus this team, has a 43% strikeout rate. Cease, a great pitcher. Only issue with him, and this is just me trying to be devil's advocate, I do agree, Padres. I have made 131. So a little less, but I do agree. The only issue with Cease is like that up and down motion of the curveball he throws could be if just meatballed, which happens with a pitcher of his caliber, could be hit for a home run pretty easy. Do I think the Brewers could hit a home run on Cease? I don't, but I do think that there's a setup to where if he is struggling early, that's the out here is what is Wade Miley's bad versus Dylan Cease's bad. But I do agree the Padres are the better team, Cease the better pitcher, and is the way that I would go with this game as well.
Yeah, for purposes of the show here on the last game, we're going to get into the Q&A here. We're locking in the second leg of the base winner parlay along with the Tampa Bay Rays. We're locking in the Padres, and you're getting a juicy price on that at plus 206. What do you got, B-Dub?
Corby credit, actually. You know, somebody counted his game, and it was up to Mr. Base Winner to check that. Mm. Somebody counted his game on the Braves Friday as a loss, and it should have been a win. So we fixed that, and that's why Corby's up at the top right now. But good recall off the top. He's like, off the top of my head, there's a lot of home runs, a home run park, and he was absolutely right. Seventh in baseball. They call it American Family Field, Kyle, and that's seventh from a home run park factor.
And I would be remiss if I didn't remind you all that we're trying to find the biggest wiener in MLB stadiums. Click that link in the video description below. I think the contest is ending soon, so you need to get in there. I know Base Winner's got some great comprehensive data. I just saw that question. I don't get all my Skype messages all the time. It's just weird. I have a weird relationship with Skype. But these guys are much more coherent when it comes to wiener sizes in Major League Baseball parks than I am at the moment. But click that link. BetUS is going to send you out. Great time. Get a hot dog. Measure it there in the stadium. Click the link in the video description below. Find out all the details and get in on it. It's a lot of fun. I think just a few more days, but that contest is running. All right. That's all of the games we're covering. Let's get into the Q&A. And the first thing we're going to do while we get into the Q&A, we're going to start with this Phillies-Rockies game because I know that Corby has something he wants to add in on this. We've got Austin Gomber on the mound for the Rockies. We've got Ranger Suarez on the mound for the Phillies. By my numbers, the Phillies have the best odds of winning today at just over 73% of the time they should win this game. What are your thoughts here, Corby, on the Phillies and Rockies?
Yeah, this is going to be an ugly game. It's minus 230 for a reason. And the way I'm going about this isn't fun, but, you know, sometimes – not fun is the way you have to bet sports. We see a Phillies team who's projected basically like 4.7, 4.8 runs. They're going against a very bad Rockies team. It's well known. It's well documented. The issue is they're at home. They probably won't play ninth inning. and you can get their nine spot batter, Johan Rojas, under half of a run plus RBI, minus 117. The nine spot obviously being the worst spot to record an RBI. You have the seven and eight spot most likely on base. And he doesn't get on base enough to really worry me. They like to put pinch runners in when he does get on base. Rojas has 40 at-bats this season. He has scored three runs, and he has one RBI. So to give me minus 117 for the nine-spot batter who gets pinch hit and pinch run a lot, any game they're expected basically 4.7 runs, I will gladly take the under half of an RBI minus 117 here. Johan Rojas. Yeah.
Johan Rojas, anything to add to that one, base runner, before we move on?
Well, you know, I like Philly's team total over here. I think it's good. This Gomber's been terrible. 16.2 strikeout percentage, stuff plus 8%. Hard hit per nine, 14 percentile. That's not good. I just feel like this Philly team's going to break out. The other, you know, the other thing is I'm in beta. Yeah, I've always liked that term. Have you ever heard like a beta? I'm beta testing things. I don't know why I like, but I like the beta term. Anyway, I'm in beta on my hits model, and I know it's a lot of juice, minus 345 for Turner, but I got it priced at minus 519. So maybe you could find a place where you could parlay Trey Turner to get a hit and the team total over. I've got team total over 4.5 minus 125. Great, but maybe if you throw Turner in there, you can make it plus money. I think that'd be a good idea, Kyle.
Yeah, I have him projected at 4.85 runs. So I'm not exactly sure what the team total is. That's the projection I have for the runs. But Johan Rojas under a half a run in RBI at minus 117 live bet here in the chat box. Our first question comes from Ponies Picks. You guys got anything for the Rangers game? So this Rangers-Tigers game is starting in about an hour and a half. It's an early game today. You got Casey Mize on the mound for Detroit. John Gray on the mound for the Rangers. I believe it's minus 115 to Texas out there right now. Let me make sure that that's right. Minus 115 to the Rangers. I have it priced at minus 133. These super early games, unless I really, really like something, I just can't get behind it. Well, what does the base winner model say here? Gray versus Mize in this early game.
I've got minus 117. It's in the market at minus 118. No play for me. I'm going to be focusing on doing a wicket drill today, Kyle. I know you would appreciate that.
I absolutely do. I mean, I have no idea what the hell what that is, but I'm assuming it's something to do with a triple jump, right? After training?
It has to do with running and jumping. You run over wickets, and it's supposed to make your stride better. So that's what I'm going to be doing while this game's being played. And so fortunately, I'm not going to have any action on it because I'm not going to have to be checking my phone. And that's not a good idea anyway. You guys, here's a good idea. If you're going to work out, don't be checking scores. It's going to ruin your workout. Just the game will happen regardless if you're checking the score or not.
Checking scores can ruin a lot of things. I think we've all been in a position, right, where we're checking the score and someone's not happy that we're checking the score. I do it at very awkward times, like right after I'd be done with, you know, what I'm doing with the ladies, like the second after. I'm not talking. I'm not saying anything. I'm like grabbing my phone, looking at the score, and she's like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "Well, that's all I was thinking about the whole time. I'm sorry, honey. It's a sickness. It's a sickness we have in this industry."
You could be split, though. You can have like half your attention here, half your attention on the game. But like, I know this. I know this, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Corby, any thoughts on this early game here, Mize versus Gray?
Yeah, I was looking at Mize strikeout prop over. I do think that he has okay stuff. Laid off completely. I haven't touched anything on this game. I would have a fun check your phone story. I checked my phone to see if Prop Builder was up. So that takes you probably, what, 35 seconds because they were a little slow to get up today. I needed Prop Builder for the sake of the show. I was at the gym, checked Prop Builder to see if it was up. It wasn't. So I closed my phone and I'm like within a foot of the cables. Guy walks right in front of me, takes it, just starts doing his shoulder warm up. I was like, dude, maybe 40 seconds. And like, you had to nut to butt me to grab this thing. I was like, this is insane at a YMCA. It's like, come on, dude. But no, for this game, nothing. For checking your phone for scores, also nothing, because I stink at it.
Nut to butt. You had to nut to butt.
It ruined your workout there. Because I speak from experience. No, I'm sure
the score did not.
A lot of the chat box too, you know?
Checking the score did not. It's having awful gym etiquette did, which probably was my fault for checking the phone. But you know, 40 seconds, you give somebody. Benefit of the doubt, you get 2 minutes. 2 minutes is a solid in between.
Not to butt me. That one, that one's going to stick with me for a little bit here today. Our next question comes from Z Schmerda. Predictions, best hitter props of the day. So whether they have the best hitter props today, I have a few graded pretty high. And again, I'm just starting to learn this a little bit here, but I've got Leota Tavares under a half a hit and an RBI rated pretty high. If you're looking for an over, I have Nick Ahmed of the Giants with a 14.8 edge here. And that's the differential here is about 70 cents. So I like that one quite a bit. And for some, Brian De La Cruz over a half total bases, I have rated pretty high as well. I'm not sure on the and again, I'm still learning that quite a bit. You guys have any hitter props? Again, I'm learning.
You know,
it on
I've
the fly.
Got a good one for you. Know, I'm working this hit model, and it's kind of like a new toy. So right. I know there's inefficiencies in it, and it's not where it needs to be right now. But I still want to make a bet with it. So this is what I did. I did a parlay five batter parlay with Phillies guys. So they all got to get a hit. Kerner, Harper, Dot, JT, and Alec Bohm. See what I did there? What first name on one of the players? And so it pays plus 305. And I think that it should be priced at like plus, I don't know, 230, I think is what I had it at. So that's good. And it's a fun bet. So that's my hit prop of the day. So so far this model's almost it's kind of getting there. So I'm excited about it, Kyle.
I like that quite a bit. Yeah, I'm learning it on the fly. That's what I'm going to do a lot of tinkering today and sort of get this as efficient in my brain as possible. Corby, what are your besides? Obviously, you just went live with the Johan Rojas, so we know you like that at minus 117. Anything else stand out to you today in terms of hitting props?
Yeah, if you wanted like just a strict hits props, you can go Emmanuel Valdez for Boston. He'll be sixth spot in the order, under half of a hit. Looks like you can get plus 155, plus 160 in some shops. That's crazy. He gets pulled from a lot of these games. So I imagine he'll have three at bats. So I don't think he's not a bad bat, but to get plus 160 on a guy who's probably only going to get three, maybe even two at bats in a game, if this is a close game, projected essentially eight runs. I don't imagine how he gets that as consistent as the plus 160 would lead you to believe.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit. I haven't had a chance to look at home run props just yet. But did Jackson Holliday get that home run yesterday? He did, right? An 8-1 that we sort of talked about on the show. Didn't he drill his first career home run yesterday? I can't remember.
No, we talked about that on the show and didn't give it out at 8-1.
Yeah, it was. It was a question here, and it's just, you know, it's all come in the words of Celine Dion. It's all coming back. It's all coming back to me now. And
no, look, he didn't get a home run.
Oh, okay. You know, so on the show, you know, I get my third live bet of my tenure here at BetUS. Third one I think I've done, and it was just such a crapper. Over, and the game ends up 2-1, and I missed Jackson Holliday at 8-1. No.
Yeah, he didn't get it. For some reason, I thought I saw in here that he hit one through the park, and I'm like, God, I don't remember him getting one. And I know I looked a little bit, but then I get distracted and I start watching other games, and you know, the universe unfolds. Our next question from Gary Sween. Garrett Whitlock under 16 and a half outs at minus 115. Corby, let's start with you here. What do you think about that one? You like the pitching outs. What do you think about Garrett Whitlock today? Pitching for Boston against the Guardians. Guardians don't strike out a lot, so they're going to pitch. They're going to make his pitch count higher just because they get deeper into counts. So he'd have to go, what, 5 2/3 to get to get the over here. I don't hate that under that. I think that one makes a little bit of sense here. An 800 weighted OPS, by the way, as well. In his last three starts, he's gone 5 innings, 4 innings, and 5 innings. So he hasn't hit that in his last three starts. I think that price is pretty fair.
Yeah, I have him at exactly 15.00 pitching outs, which is interesting. Obviously, it's a number that kind of goes straight down to. It's exactly 5 innings pitched, but you don't really see .00 very often. So would agree the under. I saw Kenny ask in the chat, do we start buying? I think he said Cutter Crawford, not Garrett Whitlock. He said, Do we start buying Cutter Cy Youngs? For some reason, I thought it was Whitlock, and I've been doing Garrett Whitlock research to see if I was missing something. I'm not. I think he goes under the pitching outs, under strikeout props. I don't. Whitlock's the guy that was hurt. I mean, he was in Birmingham doing everyone's getting hurt, but he's doing a shoulder repair. I think it was just last year in season. So this is a guy that I'm not buying too high on. I would agree the under pitching outs there.
Any thoughts on this one, the Garrett Whitlock outs in this one? What does the model say about Garrett Whitlock?
Corby's modeling this because to me, it just seems like a really tough thing to model. A couple of thoughts. So you've got this guy, pretty decent strikeout pitcher, 28.6 against a team that doesn't strike out a lot. I don't know how that falls into the outs thing, but so I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a complex. I'm still trying to do this the hits thing personally.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure this out too. I'm messing around here. I think I found some of the home run things, how they went in there. Eduardo Julian's really is grading as an A for me today to hit a home run. So I don't know what the price for Julian off my guy Grayson Rodriguez.
That might be 1,000%. Every time I watch that guy, he strikes out. Every time I bet the Twins, here's this guy up to second and third guy whiffs. So yep. It could be just like that could be really sample size. I'm only watching, but seriously, I'm not making this up. Every time I watch this guy hit, he's struck out.
I feel like every time I back the Twins, and you're right, they'll be first and third, nobody out, and they don't score because they strike out. They just get up and a lot like the Mariners. It seems like when I back the Mariners, they do the same damn thing. So I don't mind that under 16 and a half outs. Our next question from Big Al. Tommy Henry over 1.5 walks at even money. Now, I saw Kenny say that Tommy Henry might be the worst pitcher in baseball earlier. I know we kind of pick on Tommy Henry here quite a bit. He's going up against the Cubs, a 747 weighted OPS. I'm not sure how many walks. What's the base winner? What is his walk rate according to the base winner model?
I gotta find the guy, Kyle. So
right, I know that's where it gets difficult, right? I'm learning that right now. Like,
no,
it's
he's
tough.
In there. No, it's not bad. It's like, I mean, that's a decent. I mean, 8.6% on a 300 plate appearance sample size is actually better than league average. I don't know how that other team grades out as far as taking walks too. You know, Tommy Boy is an interesting guy because, you know, he was so fun to play against last year, and his numbers were pretty bad last year. But I mean, this guy's been serviceable. So from a number standpoint, so maybe we can catch up with the Tommy Boy jokes. You know, I could take a crap in a box and mark it guaranteed, and then what you got is a guaranteed piece of crap. I love that line from Tommy Boy. You know, your favorite team's the Yankees, that sort of thing. But as far as I would pass on this game, the fact that's what I did entirely.
Well, I came across the Garrett Whitlock under 16 and a half ounce. I have it graded at a B. That's a B minus grade today, so it's not a terrible grade. I'm trying to find the walks for Tommy Henry, and I stand corrected because it was Hunter Brown who Kenny said might be the worst pitcher in baseball. But what do you think about this Tommy Henry over 1.5 walks at even money, Corby?
Yeah, I think it's an amazing bet. Wherever you're finding 1.5 walks, bet that. First off, it is. I see best price in market as minus 115. So if you're getting plus 100, I mean, you can arb out of that for a profit already. Second, Tommy Henry is a guy who will pitch. I mean, they will let his arm fall off his body on the mound. I think unless I'm just thinking of the wrong guy, I've seen Tommy Henry throw like 116 pitches before. So they're not shy to let him throw. And I think a walk spot, here's a really good look. I don't have a price graded out, but I have just even if you're just going off market average, it looks like you get minus 127. So if you're getting plus 100, very good bet. Take that.
Love that. Let's get to our next question here from Kev DiBiase. Thoughts on the Braves today? Hunter Brown got rocked in his last two starts. What do you think about this one? Braves Astros, interesting series early on. Two teams who certainly could be in the World Series later on. Who the heck is pitching for the Braves today? Oh, it's Reynaldo Lopez, who's been really good. Converted reliever who's six strong innings in each of his last two starts. It's a 644 weighted OPS here. Hunter Brown obviously is not going to profile as well. It's an 800 weighted OPS. He has been abysmal. Only seven combined innings in his last two starts. What are your thoughts here, Braves, Astros?
You're asking me, Kyle, or are you asking, yes. Asking Corby? Oh, well, I think that the Braves are a good play. In fact, I've got talk about a great shirt. I got the Brave Shamrock shirt here. That's one of my favorites. And this game, I've got priced at my. What do you have it priced? I got it priced minus 169, Kyle.
I have it at minus 131 to Atlanta, which surprises me a little bit. I think I would think it'd be a little bit more.
You look at Lopez. You're right. He has pitched well. 28.7% strikeout rate. I've got the Braves. I love the Braves. Their bullpen's best in baseball. They've got the best. the best slugging percentage in the history of the game. I mean, I don't think it's really, I don't think anybody's even going to give me a hard time that this offense is the best in baseball. Some people think it's the Dodgers. I disagree with that, but yeah, I'm going to go with the Braves here. You know, they're going to have to get some production from Lopez with Strider being out. It's really disappointing that Strider's not pitching anymore. I'm kind of personally bummed about it, but I'm really not surprised. Because the guy's a vegan, right?
So, you know what? This might be a live button spot for me. It's priced at -111 in the market. I'm going to check this double result for the Braves here, and if I'm getting a good price, I'm going to go ahead and back it. +135 on the double result for the Braves. Let's live button it, because I like the Braves quite a bit too here. And I like that the base winner model's got at -169. I think mine should be closer to that. So I'm going to live bet the Braves double result +135. I think Lopez is much better than Hunter Brown, and the Braves should be able to smash him. What do you think, Corby, in this Braves-Astros game?
Yeah, I'll be rooting for you too from afar. I have one pretty big concern. I actually have value on the Astros in this one. But I'm not going to bet it. I do think Hunter Brown, first off, has pitched really bad in his really small sample size, 15 pitches, versus the Braves. But this is a Braves team who's really good at, like, relaying message. Like, we see if a pitcher does bad, they've kind of eaten him up. So the Braves do have a shot in that aspect. The big issue here, and the one I just cannot wrap my head around, and the reason I stayed as far away from this game as possible, Ronaldo Lopez has been great. But what he does is only throw fastball. It's, like, nearly a 70% fastball rate. And the Astros are very, very, very good at hitting fastballs. They're second in the league WRC plus from the fastball this year. They've been top two in the base in all of baseball hitting the fastball for many years at this point. Somebody like Kyle Tucker, you're never going to get swing and miss from with a fastball. He just will not do it. So it's going to be a slugfest. If you think the Astros or if you think the Braves win, I think this over 9.5 is a pretty good look. I think the Astros get their own. And can score pretty early versus Lopez. I thought about an Astros first five because I do think at the end of the day, the Braves are the better team. But I ultimately ended up playing well.
All right, I'm going to live button the Braves double result and back. And it's really kind of a fade too for me of Hunter Brown. I'll take that double result at +135. Our next question, and we might have another one because I like this price too from Damian Edwards. And he kind of knows how my mind works on these double results. Thoughts on Giants Marlins? You got the Giants double result at +125. Corby, let's go to you. I have Weathers profiling as the worst pitcher on the board today, 932 weighted OPS against the Giants. I also have this game priced at -191 to the Giants here with Jordan Hicks on the mound, another converted reliever who can throw 100. And his stuff has been pretty electric so far for the Giants early on. I think it's a pitching advantage here for the Giants, certainly a lineup advantage. That +125 might be – God, I might have another live – I might have four plays on today's show. Let's do it. Let's live button it. Give me the Giants double result, +125. Good find by Damien. If you guys could help me out and put it on the sheet for me. Corby, what do you think in this one, Giants, Marlins?
Yeah, it looks like I'm at like 135. So I do agree. Jordan Hicks is a guy that I think at some point – it's kind of like – Ashcraft is kind of like Hunter Green. Like, it just feels like he throws hard enough to get swing and miss. At some point, it's got to all click. Like, you see his strikeout profit 4.5, and then you watch his stuff, and you're like, dude, like, how is this not 6.5 or 7? But it's not. Time and time again, he proves to have struggles with command and find his location. So, do agree on the side. I actually bet this a little bit in a base winner style parlay. Not as much, but like, it was a... The idea that this game's going to be low scoring and I don't fade to the bottom of the lineup for the Giants actually produces the runs. So I bet Giants to win and Patrick Bailey under a run in RBI. Those two things are going to be reverse correlated. So you're going to get a really good price. The idea that the 8 spot can't score and yet the Giants can still win is like a weird thing for the book to price. And I think that it can happen pretty easy. So give me the Giants and Bailey not to have any run production at all.
Yeah, what do you think about this one, base winner? So I got it. Oh, we got it at +130. So we're actually getting 5 more cents here at BetUS. That's why you head to betustv.com/join. I got it priced at -190. I've got the Giants winning this game just over 65% of the time. Curious to what you think on this one. I just don't think Weathers pro.
No, I've got like 3 thoughts, and nothing has to do with the handicap because I think it's priced right. Well, do you want me to give you my 3 thoughts?
Yes, I can't wait.
Okay, so the first thought was when he said Patrick Bailey, I thought, isn't that she's an easy lover? She's got a hold on you. But I think we went over this lot, and it's maybe Philip Bailey, Kyle. You're the rock guy on the show, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that was my – actually, I only have two thoughts. The other one was Weathers, as he is just a crappy pitcher, and I hope that he can kind of reverse that. Because
careful. Don't say it too loud or he's going to throw a no-hitter tonight.
Well, you know, if he continues to pitch, they're going to set him down, and it's going to ruin all the Carl Weathers Rocky material that we have for that guy when he comes up on the
soon.
Card. Too
soon. R.I.P. Carl Weathers. Is it weird that I thought of you instantly? Like, and then I instantly just played No Easy Way Out and started doing the montage in my head. But, yeah, I went ahead and live bet that one again. I'm going to take that Giants double result plus 130. I appreciate Damian knowing how my brain works. We have time for one last question here. It's a total in this A's-Cardinals game, total of 8 at minus 115. It comes from Trevor Vandenbosch Jones. I'm trying to find out how many runs I have this projected at right now. I have it projected at just under 8 runs at 7.93 runs, so probably not something I'm touching. What does the base winner model say, A's-Cardinals?
I like 8.7 runs. So, yeah, but, you know, Sears almost threw a no-hitter against the Rangers is LTO, but I don't know. I can't – you know, the model says there's value on the Cardinals, but can you bet Lance Lynn? I can't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger, Kyle.
Yeah, I tried doing it. Didn't I try to do it last week? And wasn't it against the – I can't remember, but I don't remember if he won it. I think he lost it for me. Corby, any thoughts on this total of 8 in that A's-Cardinals game?
Yeah, he gave up 2 runs in the first inning. And then after that, he actually looked okay. JP Sears is decent. This we've kind of talked about, like, if there's a time to back or just not fade Oakland, it's kind of the Sears or Blackburn. Kenny says I'll donate to Ruiz plus 900 if he's in the lineup, home run. Be interesting to see if they put him back in the lineup. That actually is a pretty big part of this game. That gives him a lot better batting. I will say Oakland, Lawrence Butler has impressed me a lot. Like, he has really good swing. I saw him, and he's a fast kid. He doesn't get enough recognition because he's in Oakland, but do think he's a good baseball player. With Lane St. Louis, first 5 money line here, I think he could get minus 118. So I think J.P. Sears has the ability to limit the Cardinals. I just don't know if Oakland can score. So if Ruiz is in, then it's going to probably be a little more shaded Oakland, but don't imagine he'll be in after getting called up yesterday.
Guys, you're the best chat box in the business. We really appreciate you guys and all the smart questions, the funny questions, the comments. They're like friends out there, too. They make plays amongst themselves. We have the best chat box in the business. We really appreciate it. If you haven't hit the like button, please do so. Hit that bell icon so every time we go live, you're notified. And, of course, head over to betustv.com/join. Let's go over our best bets of the day and get you out of here on a Tuesday. We've got the base winner parlay today. The Rays and the Fathers, the Rays and the Padres. Ooh, you're rhyming a little bit here at plus 206. Look at the graphics team, able to add all of our live bets that quickly and get it up here. The guys behind the scenes make our lives so much easier. What a great job by them. So I've got 4 double results today. Baltimore at plus 110. The Royals, again, check the weather there in Chicago at minus 105. And a couple of live button plays in the chat box. The Braves at plus 135. The Giants at plus 130. Corby's on Quintana under 5.5 Ks at minus 127. The White Sox team total under 1.5 in the first 5 innings at minus 120, and Johan Rojas under 0.5 runs in RBIs, and that's sitting at minus 117. Again, thank you guys so much for watching. I really appreciate it. Have a great day, and of course, good luck on all your future wagers.